Welcome to episode 9 of Up to Speed, only on 102.3 Penguin Radio, the show where we cover all the latest and greatest new automotive and car news. Today we have a little bit of kind of the two main things that we focused on over the last 8 weeks. The advancement of technology and also traditional brands and luxury. And today we're going to be comparing really how these companies kind of outlook new technology. One of the main differences between a show that I used to watch as a kid, Top Gear, is a lot of their segments and news and car things like that were based off of all these brand new supercars coming out, all these brand new engines coming out, and a lot of that has changed since then. And now I feel when I'm doing something similar, all the things that I'm covering are really new technology and things like that. At a time in the early 2090s, advancements in vehicles was just upping the materials, making things look a little bit nicer, neater, figuring out how can we make the best gas car possible. But now we're kind of just changing the entire car itself. We're changing the entire way the car functions, and I feel like every segment that I cover of this news is about a car that's completely changing the way that cars have worked over the past, 100 years or so, which I think is a really awesome time. And I wanted to just take a look at a few companies and some of the things they've brought to the table and see what they've done with this new technology. Have they stuck with their traditions, or have they moved into a new type of styling and outlook and advancements and moving with the times? The first company that I wanted to look at is Volvo. More importantly, Polestar, actually. If you didn't know, Polestar is Volvo's, owned by Volvo. It's Volvo's little performance brand that they run, but they only make electric vehicles. And what Volvo has done is gone all out. I mean, they've used every bit of new technology they possibly could, and they even rebranded their name under Polestar for this brand new EV technology that's coming through. And honestly, my prediction is in the next 30, 40 years that this Polestar company is going to be much bigger than Volvo ever was. I think that a lot of the brands that are changing their brand name to use to market their EVs are just going to end up running with their new name eventually once these brands grow as big as they can get. Otherwise, I don't know why they wouldn't be naming it under their main brand if they know that this is the future and it's very obvious that it is. But nevertheless, the Polestar 2 is the brand new car from the company. The Polestar 1 was a plug-in hybrid. It was a very nice, solid car. It's the ride height of a crossover, and it has this weird sloping roof, and it's kind of the mix between a sedan and a crossover and hatchback, and it's a lot of things all at once, but it kind of works out pretty well. Polestar 2 is not very much different in its styling, although it is all electric for 2021, as the name will imply. This is technically not Volvo's standalone EV brand. However, they do release all their EV cars, or at least their performance EV cars, under this brand name. It's technically, though, their standalone performance brand, not performance EV brand. So expect maybe an electric or a gas Polestar car, but I wouldn't be waiting for that anytime soon, because I think they're definitely focusing on getting this EV thing right, as they should. The car is a really, really sleek looking, even though it's kind of a strange size and things like that. For the engine, it obviously doesn't have an engine, but it comes with two electric motors, one up front and another in the back, which makes it all-wheel drive. They each produce 201 horsepower, which means that you are going to have 402 horsepower, 200 to each set of wheels, which is pretty fast. 0 to 60 in 4.1 seconds and 50 to 70 in 2.2, which is actually pretty impressive numbers. I was surprised to see that level of speed for something the size of the Polestar. Again, like I said, it's a little bit bigger. Think of a sedan, but raised up to the height of a crossover. It does look a bit strange, and it does look very heavy, especially with all those, the two electric motors. You gotta have all the batteries at the bottom. Does help with the weight distribution of the car, however, because all the batteries are laid at the bottom of the car, which makes it have a really good center of gravity, which makes turning very, I was gonna say easy, but I don't think that's the word. I would just say snappier, I'd say, would be a better word to describe that. But yeah, it is, EVs are really, although the weight has always been an issue with EVs, they tend to make up for that with just the sheer power that you get from electric motors on top of the almost perfect weight distribution that you could get every single time with these cars. Like I said, the combination of these type of things, along with their Ohlins dampers and some 20-inch wheels and summer tires with some stiff suspension, combines for a for twos, nine G's of cornering grip, and 157 foot stopping distance from 70 miles per hour. Sorry, this is a the way this article was written was a little bit strange, but 0.9 G's of cornering is what was meant to be said right there, and 157 feet of stopping distance from 70 miles per hour, which is very, very fast. If you are in that car, you are going to be, if you slam on the brakes, you're going to stop very fast, but it's probably not going to be the most comfortable experience for you. But again, since this is Volvo's performance brand, you would expect that this car could perform on the track, and it looks like that is the case here. Volvo making a performance EV is a little bit strange. It's not something a market, it's not a market that I think they would, or at least I would have thought they would have jumped into, because it's Volvo and they don't really make very many fast cars, if any at all. But I think it's actually a really cool car, and I think they did a cool job with it. You can kind of see some of the Volvo styling sticking through in the front grille and the headlights a little bit, but I've seen this thing on the road in person. I got the opportunity to look around it, and I think it looks great. I think the taillights look awesome, and when you see it out on the road, just driving around, you don't think of it as a Volvo. You don't see it as a Volvo because it doesn't really look like one to that extent, just because of how strange the, like I said, the ride height and like the combination of how tall the doors are and things like that. It's a lot of very small things that combine to make a very interesting looking car. But I really think they did a great job with styling. It looks a lot like the Polestar 1, so if you're a fan of that, you're gonna like this car as well. I think it just looks a little bit more refined, as it should be, as is the Polestar 2. Starting price for this car is around $60,000. Launch edition is $61,000, and the performance package is going to be around $66,000, which is a lot. It is a lot of money, especially when it's competing with something like the Model 3 Tesla, which is around $50,000, and it doesn't have the same range or acceleration, and that's kind of a problem, and I am a little bit concerned about that. But at the same time, the interior and the luxury that this car provides is a lot better than a Tesla, much, much better than a Tesla, actually. I should be giving it more credit than it's due. It has a very nice screen, as you'd expect. All these EVs are going through these very big screens, except they went McLaren style, which is a portrait style screen in the middle instead of the almost iPad looking sideways screen that Tesla usually has, which I think looks a lot better. You're also going to get a gauge cluster in this car too, which again, a lot of people with Teslas complain that they have to look over to the right at that little screen to see how what the speed they're going is. And I can confirm that is a little bit annoying. You get used to it in the Tesla, but it is also, I would much rather have a screen here, and Polestar does this right. For $60,000, if you want the extra luxury and you think it's worth it, then I would absolutely go for this over a Model 3. You're going to get a better car. In general, you're going to get less range, obviously, but when are you really going to be using all that range when you could just charge at home? If you're using this for daily work commutes, it's going to be a perfect option for you. And overall, Polestar is basically just taking all the modern technology that we have have currently and just thrown it at this Polestar 2. And it looks great, and I think it is a fantastic option. I think that everything, they did really everything about it right for their first or second now entry into the Polestar brand. I think there's a lot of potential with this brand. I don't think I would buy in just yet. The Polestar 2 is a fantastic car, but the way technology has been going, like I say, almost every episode, I would wait a couple more years just to see where this market goes, just because it's so, so new. I'm very grateful that I get to cover this show at this time in the automotive industry, because everything is just, I mean, there's a new technology and a new stat or a new record hit every other week, just because of the way things are adapting. So again, I would give it a few years to settle down in the EV market before you move in, like I said. But the Polestar 2 is a really cool option to look at for now and see where things are heading. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic. You are listening to Up to Speed, where we cover all the latest and greatest car news, only on 102.3 Penguin Radio or the Penguin Radio website. We will be back, and next segment we will be talking about a van. Welcome back to Up to Speed, only on 102.3 Penguin Radio, where we cover the latest and greatest car news. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic, and we're back, and we're talking about a van. And surprisingly enough, I think that vans are a market that is going to explode in the next few years, and I have a few reasons as to why. Now, a lot of people would be like, DJ Mechanic, why are you talking about vans? Vans are, they used to be cool in like the 70s and the 80s, maybe a little bit, and then they fell off because no one needed the space, and no one thought they were cool, and they were big, and everyone went with pickup trucks and cars and sedans because sedans could do basically everything a van could do, but practical. But I think that with the modernization of roads, the amount of technology that we have access to now, and the amount of practicality that a van could actually offer is a lot, really. I mean, we haven't seen very many vans use a ridiculous amount of modern technology, and the ones you do are the ones that you see massive celebrities or big artists riding around in. That's a custom Sprinter van that they got done by an aftermarket company. But we've never really seen a van just come out and be that luxurious, when really it's a market that could very easily be tapped into, but I think just isn't. That and EVs are really the only two things that I think are destined to grow, because I think that people are going to realize that, you know, if you want to go on a road trip, a van having that much space in the back and having that much comfortability is so much better than a sedan in every way possible. And vans are there. I think vans are cool. If you don't think vans are cool, I can understand it, I can respect it, but I think that vans are cool, and vans need to be respected. And especially this here van, the Hyundai Staria. You know how I said that Polestar threw all the technology they could possibly find at a new car? The Staria kind of does that, but it does it a little bit less, but enough to make a van pretty cool. I think it looks awesome. It's got a really cool, spacey design. It's got some really funky bronze cut wheels. Looks like laser cut wheels. They look really, really nice. Again, it's a van, so if you don't like the look of vans, you're not going to like the look of this van, because it still looks like a van. But I think it's a very cool looking van. I think it's got some really cool, funky taillights. Everything looks kind of like a mix of modern kind of cyberpunk, I guess, would be the best way to describe it. Except for the inside. The inside is looks extremely luxurious. You've got these massive reclining seats. You've got this man staring out at the sunset from the Hyundai propaganda, or not propaganda, but advertisement. He's just got his tie flapping in the non-existent wind, looking out the window, enjoying this beautiful seat and this massive, massive van that he has a bunch of headroom and this big sunroof in. And I think that that's a life that many people should strive for, because vans are cool. And I will still stand by that to this day. The Steria will be available with seating for 2, 7, 9, or 11. The premium models get a brass chrome trim, smart power sliding doors, relaxation seats on the 7-seat model, interior ambient lighting, and a Bose sound system. There's a stereo premium limousine that also has a high roof with star lights, which is basically a star light headliner. If you don't know, it's a thing in Rolls-Royce where the top of your car or the roof of your car on the inside will have a bunch of little LEDs in it, making it look like a starry night sky above your head. It is a very luxurious thing, and they did it in the limo version of this car. I'm sure you get it done in the standard version as well. I wish they would have done that stock, however, because again, that's one of those small little elements that I think would have been pretty cool. The Staria is about the same size as the Kia Carnival, but it is about 10 inches taller, which is a lot, but you are also going to be getting much more headroom because of this. Depending on some of the things you can get it in a 175 horsepower 2.2 liter diesel four cylinder that has a 6-speed manual, or you can get an 8-speed automatic transmission. If you want to upgrade your power, however, you can get a 3.5 liter V6 with 268 horsepower, but it's only going to be available with the automatic if you decide to go up to that point. I don't really know why you'd want to buy this in manual, and I honestly don't really know why this isn't an electric car, but I think it definitely has the potential to in the future, and I think that Hyundai is laying a good foundation for what could be a very, very cool electric vehicle later down the line. I think Hyundai's playing it smart by not making it an EV, because right now I don't think the technology is there. I think they see it, especially with a van, getting the range on that thing while not increasing the weight while trying to keep it also as luxurious as it is would be pretty difficult, and it would probably weigh more than a building. So, I agree with their decision to make it either a diesel or a little V6 with 268 horsepower. That's plenty of power for this little van. And I think that holding it to a gas car for now, waiting for the technology to evolve later to change it, to possibly change it. Obviously, I don't want to get Hyundai. I don't know if they're going to, but I feel like it would be really stupid if they didn't. So I'm just going to say they're going to. Later down the line, make the Staria a electric van and something that Hyundai could use in the future. I think adding this to their lineup makes their lineup a little bit more versatile. They had a lot of cheap sedans Hyundai makes, and a lot of their bigger cars were not my favorite and not a lot of people's favorites. So having this, I think is really cool. Unfortunately, very unfortunately, it is not being sold in the US, which is a little bit of a pain. But if there are any UK listeners here, you're lucky it will be sold there and other places outside the US. Please buy this if you do live there. We are trying to increase the sales so that they will sell them here in the US, because I would happily like one of these. I think it would be a very awesome road trip car to have, especially if you want to convert the back. It looks like having that 9.8 extra inches of headroom over the Carnival is a pretty big deal. I mean, 10 inches doesn't seem like a lot on a car, but when you're standing next to a car that is 10 inches taller than the car next to you, it is very, very obvious which one is which, and especially on the inside, you're almost able to stand. It looks like you're almost able to stand up completely inside of the Staria. And it's not even a technically raised roof van, which is a pretty impressive feat. Especially when it looks the way it does, it really doesn't look as tall as it is. It looks pretty sleek. And overall, I think that the Staria, I don't know which way you want to pronounce it. You can pronounce it either way you want. It will go on sale in the second half of this year, and I think it is a very, very awesome van. Hyundai, again, showing off some of the ways that they're advancing. A lot of new technology in this van, a lot of new features, and a lot of new just things in general. They're pushing ahead. Almost everything on this van is not on any other Hyundai, which is not something that can be said of the next car that we are going to be talking about. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic. You are listening to Up to Speed only on 102.3 Penguin Radio, and we will be back. Welcome back to Up to Speed only on 102.3 Penguin Radio or the Penguin Radio website. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic, and in the last two segments we talked about two companies that have been pushing the limits of technology that we have today and have been using everything they've had and made that the fundamental process of how they make vehicles, pushing technology to its very brink to make the best possible vehicle for that model year. Now that is a very great thing, and they produce some very incredible vehicles, but some companies have something else to them that these companies don't. Something that these companies hold dear to them, their heritage, their history. Companies like Rolls-Royce, companies like Bentley. And in the 2022 Bentley Continental GT, they have taken the technology of today's modern world and combined it without compromising the tradition that they have always kept. The Bentley Continental GT has always looked very similar to this. It's always performed very similar to this. And in 2022, we have no exception. No electric engine, no fancy self-driving technology, none of that. A Bentley Continental GT is going to be a Bentley Continental GT. The interior is incredible, probably one of the greatest interiors that you can get on the market in general at all in existence. Bentley's cabin is incredible. It is the Conti's cabin is the person slash company that makes it. You're going to be having some fine leather, gorgeous wood. You're going to have handsome metal trims and technology that, while it is there, is not overburdened and all over the place like some other cars. You're going to be having some of the modern luxuries of today, but pushed aside for tradition and traditional luxury at its very core. The Continental GT is, of course, not a sleeper car whatsoever, with 650 horsepower with the car's W12 engine that it still has to this day. You can get it with a V8, and it also comes in a convertible in the V8, but you could also spend $15,000 more and get the W12, which you should, because the W12 sounds, looks, and performs better than the V8 in every aspect possible. You're going to have the speed badging, of course, with the speed version of the W12, which is slightly more expensive, and by slightly, I mean starts $75,000 more than the standard W12, and $90,000 more than the V8 Coupe. The Speed also has 22-inch wheels, microfiber interior upholstery, and a optional carbon fiber dashboard trim that you can only get if you get the Speed car, the Speed Coupe version, which means you should probably get that option, because if you ever plan on selling this thing in the future, it's going to be worth a lot more money if you get those options, and options similar to that one, where you can only get a certain option with a certain build. One thing that a lot of people don't really take into mind when they get a car like this is they spend the whole time trying to make it theirs, trying to make it as spec'd out to their liking as possible. Skip out on a few things because, you know, maybe they don't like the look of, you know, a small certain thing. But don't realize that those small little features and options that come making your car that much more rare when it's a car that's going to be heavily sought after in a few years, like a Bentley Continental would be, is going to very, very much help you in reselling the car, because the value of it is going to be much, much more, because those options that you spec'd into are much rarer than the people that didn't, because you need to have gotten this and that, which is a lot of things that a lot of people don't do normally. So that's a little tip for those of you out there who are speccing some, you know, nice cars, want to resell it. Always look for those small little options. You know, maybe they're maybe $1,000, $2,000 now, but in the long run, that may make your car worth $2,000 down the line anyways. So, you know, there's a balance there. You gotta always look at it. Nevertheless, the Bentley Continental is a perfect example of a company that takes their tradition and combines it with the modern technology today. We have the W12 that it always has. However, it's been tuned up. It goes 0 to 60 in 3.4 seconds, something crazy for a vehicle of this size. It has 650 horsepower, like I said, and non-speed models can get the coupe up to 0 to 60 in 3.3 seconds even sometimes. If you're smart, that's not using the launch control on the Speed. The Speed will 0 to 60 in 3.4 almost every single time, obviously if your tires hook. But if you're, you know, a little bit of a driver yourself, you cut off a tenth of a second there, if you're lucky. Again, not really something that matters with a Bentley. But like I was saying, it has all of the modern driving luxuries that you need in a car at this time, but it doesn't push it to a ludicrous amount. It doesn't overbear on all of the heritage and all of the Bentley that you are buying. And by Bentley, by the Bentley that you are buying, I kind of mean you buy this car because you want certain things. You want the Bentley luxury, you want the leather, you want the wood, you want the styling, you want the big wheels, you want the big W12 sound that comes out of the back of that exhaust. And that's what you're getting here. And you're getting a better version of it from last year, which is what companies like Bentley and Rolls-Royce have been doing. This is their approach to modern technology, is they take it with a little bit less of a grip than some of these newer companies. They take some of the things they like, some of the things they don't, and they throw a few things in there and keep it at that level. They don't push it too far. They don't try to be the first ones to introduce a new feature, and they make sure above all else that the car is their traditional car. That is, it is still a Bentley car that will be recognized and not stand out from the rest of the Bentley lineup throughout the years. And I think that's a very incredible, I think that's a great approach. I think that's something that is modeled, needs to be modeled a little bit better by more companies. And I think that for those of you who want cars that are traditional like this and have that heritage that you're looking for, they're not dying, is what I would say to you. These cars, the heritage cars, the cars that have, you know, the classical wood, the classical luxury, and all of those things that they've had for years and years and years and years, that's still not going away with this modern technology. Those things are still out there. And although things are new and things are changing, there are some things that will always stay the same, and Bentley here is showing that with their new Continental GT. Whereas Bentley doing this with their new Continental GT, Porsche, on the other hand, is doing something similar, but they're pushing it just a little bit farther than Bentley. They're dipping their toes into some new things. We're going to be talking about that in our next, in our final segment today. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic. You're listening to Up to Speed only on 102.3 Penguin Radio or the Penguin Radio website, and we will be back. Welcome back to Up to Speed, only on 102.3 Penguin Radio or the Penguin Radio website. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic. And for this last segment, we're going to talk about something that is kind of a combination of the last three segments, and you'll kind of see what I mean. The first two companies that we looked at, Polestar and Hyundai, were very modern companies, and they were pushing for the most futuristic vehicle they could possibly make, not really caring too much about a traditional build or what makes a Hyundai or a Polestar a Polestar. When we looked at Bentley, however, Bentley was a much more traditional company. They pushed the boundaries of technology without overbearing it on what made their Bentley cars for the last 100 years, or however long Bentley has been around now. Another company that is kind of somewhere in a middle ground of both of those is Porsche. And I think that a lot of people haven't really noticed that much. But that's, I think, why Porsche sells so well, is because they keep their tradition of Porsches. They're luxurious, they're fast, they're very nice, they're built incredibly well, and they are engineered magnificently. However, they also push their boundaries way, way past what Bentley and more luxury-focused companies do, because Porsche is a luxury sports car maker. And I think that's what makes them very much different from Bentley, whereas Bentley is a luxury sports car maker. Which sounds the same, but the difference between being a luxury sports car maker and a luxury sports car maker is very, very, very different. You look at the Bentley Continental GT and you think of it as a luxury car, even though it has a W12 engine with 650 horsepower in it. But when you look at something like a Porsche Taycan, you're thinking of it as a very, very fast car, even though it has a lot of luxurious features. There's a very big difference in there, and I think that this is what allows Porsche to push things very, very far. Whereas Bentley was sticking with a W12 engine, Porsche has been pushing things with the 2021 Porsche Taycan, which is their full electric EV sports car, supercar, honestly, with 750 horsepower, and does 0-60 faster than things like the Bugatti Veyron. It is an incredibly impressive car. However, it remains in the Porsche tradition, because the Porsche tradition is to make cars built very well in a Porsche styling and engineered masterfully. And that is what makes Porsche Porsche, and that allows them to push the boundaries while keeping their tradition. And That is also what is going to be speculated with some new Porsche cars, as they are speculated to have the 2022 Porsche Cayenne have an EV variant, which will be probably not a rival to the Bentley at all. They're very completely different cars, but I want to compare them here for one thing, and that's how they've evolved. The Porsche Cayenne has always been a big sports SUV, kind of just the thing that, you know, the private school mom of the neighborhood would buy and just drive the kids to school around in and not do too much of. But it was built very nice. It's a very nice vehicle. And although my styling, or I didn't really enjoy the styling that much, it didn't look horrible. And over time, it's just become better and better and better, because every single piece of tradition that they had, they've just improved slightly over time. They haven't left it alone, per se, as how Bentley has done, leaving a lot of the styling techniques and things that they have always had kind of stay the same, whereas Porsche, over time, they've evolved their headlights, they've evolved the way their wheels work, they've evolved their interiors, but not in a way that makes it not Porsche, in a way that just makes it modern Porsche. And that's something that I think that a lot of these companies can learn from, because Porsche is doing this EV thing very, very well. They have their gas cars. They're still there. They're still being sold, and they're still incredible, and they're still pushing the boundaries of those cars. And at the same time, they are pushing EVs and making their EVs have an identity. They're using different headlights for their EVs. They're using different wheels. And they're making things look like they have an identity. Porsche is establishing an identity in the future. And I think that's something that Bentley and Rolls-Royce and a lot of traditional companies can learn from. And even companies that push modern levels can learn from. Companies that push too far modern need to learn that they don't have to sacrifice their entire identity to modernize a car, per se. They can take the things that have worked, the styling cues, and some of the things, and just subtly evolve them to make them just that little bit more modern, and that will be fine. And for companies that take things too traditionally, I think they can learn that there are ways to improve things without necessarily entirely changing them. There are ways to make a leather and wood interior look modern while still making it a leather and wood nice walnut interior or whatever you may want in your Bentley. There is just so much that Porsche is doing right in this modern era that it's very clear to see why they have grown so much as a company. They used to be just a rival for things like Lamborghini and things like Ferrari with the 911, but since then Porsche has stepped into so many different markets. They've stepped into Tesla's market, they've stepped into the modern sports car market, they've stepped into the hypercar market, they've stepped into the SUV market, they've stepped into everyday consumer market with things like the Boxers and the Panameras. I've seen down in Southern California, where, you know, things are, it's a very nice area, obviously, there's Porsches everywhere, all over the place. Almost every stop sign you pull up to will have a Porsche of some kind. And they're all different, but still Porsches. It's something that I think only Porsche has been able to do very, very well. As you can see, you can look to your right and you'll see a hypercar or an SUV, and you'll look at both of those and automatically know that that's a Porsche. And I think that that is a very, very rare detail that needs to be done with more manufacturers. I think more manufacturers need to establish that much, that well of an identity, that strong of an identity that Porsche has before they start branching out into other things. Or else they're going to end up doing what Volvo's done and completely make a new company just to start a new identity of a vehicle. Which is fine, it's doable, but I think that Porsche has done it right compared to everybody else. They've kept their company alive and not just made a new one to fix what their old company couldn't evolve to become, is essentially what I'm trying to put here. But obviously Porsche isn't a perfect company. They have their mistakes, they have their flops. The 2022 Cayenne could be a flop. It may not even be an EV. We don't know. It's speculation. But one thing that will be for certain is that it will be a Porsche vehicle, and you will certainly be able to know that from styling, from sitting inside, from the noise, or lack of noise, even if it is an EV, because of Porsche's outside little humming noise that their vehicles make. It's a little bit strange, and I wish you could turn it off a little bit easier, but it's a Porsche thing, and if that's what they want their identity to be, then that's what they want their identity to be. So, overall, what I'm trying to say is that companies need to keep pushing their identity without skipping out on technology, and vice versa. They need to push technology without skipping out on their identity. This has been episode 9 of Up to Speed, only on 102.3 Penguin Radio or the Penguin Radio website. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic,